It is so good to be here. I'm Janice, a compulsive overeater. And I will admit, I had misgivings about being a speaker. I've been in OA for 19 years, and I have been suffering in relapse. So I said, I don't know if I've what to share. And but the truth is, relapse or no, I have been in OA for 19 years, and I have abstained from quitting OA. And I do have hope to share, because relapse is not uncommon in this fellowship, and it can be very demoralizing. So, I want to have this bright, shiny program to share with you, and I do have a lot of things to share with you. I didn't come into OA at my heaviest, and I decided, being that I'm almost 60 years old, I'm just going to stick with basically this 19 years in OA, although the rest of the story is fabulous. But so here's a picture of my before, probably about my heaviest, which was around 260, I think. By the grace of OA, I did actually, for the first time, get to a normal weight that was really more or less normal, in the low 160s, sometimes to 150 in that area, which I hadn't weighed that. I was wearing size 10s, which I never had worn in high school. So I came to OA because I was out of ideas, and I did a number of weight loss programs. I'd even sold some of the weight loss stuff, lose weight now, ask me how. And I like knew all of that. But it never lasted. I grew up in what I believe is a family of compulsive eaters. We were all about the food. Everything that was special, it was food, food, food. I can remember, after being in OA for a number of years, I had my mom up and my mom and dad for the holidays, and I said, I'm not eating sugar right now, and so whatever you guys want to have in the house, we can have it there, but I won't be baking. And my mother, who had been overweight all her life, she said, "Okay, but you make the best cookies." And it was kind of a stab in my heart, because our weight had always been the, if she could only lose weight. And yet, while I had found a place of recovery, the rest of my family really didn't get it. My dad, till the day he died, "I don't understand why you can't just have one. There's just no," and you would think that he would understand. But so I came into OA, and what was, I have to tell you, I thought what was going to happen, I would go into that room. I came in at about 230 pounds, so I wasn't my heaviest, and I knew what would happen. I would walk in, not being like morbidly obese, and they'd say, "Oh, that's really cute, honey, but you're not heavy enough." The delusions in which we live. And I walked into the room, and I was the biggest person there. It's like, well, that's not working out. So I had also grown up in church, and after, looking at the steps, it's like, well, I've prayed to lose the weight. That's just not going to happen. So I'll go for a little while, and then, it's tragic, but I'm special, and it's not going to work for me. So to do that, and to be able to look them in the eye, it's like, all right, I will do what they're saying, which is stupid, and it's not going to work. So I set up, put my feet on the floor one morning, and I'm like, all right, here we go, God. Oh, I'm a compulsive eater. I can't do anything. So it's up to you. I'm powerless. I would like to say that I wasn't that snotty all day, but it's true. Oh, there's another compulsive thought. Remember, I'm powerless. That's your job. When I sat down at the end of the day, I could hardly wait with my little notepad and say, "Well, let's see what happened." And I had had a normal breakfast. I had had a lunch. I hadn't snacked all afternoon. I had eaten dinner, and for some inexplicable, I didn't eat after dinner. And I was so shocked and appalled, given my attitude. I just didn't know even how to wrap my head around that, because apparently the God of my upbringing did not have that kind of grace. So I didn't get to go back to OA and say, it doesn't work for me, isn't it tragic, and leave, because this program makes us look deeper than this flesh. And one of the things I did this morning was go through the pages of my books and for all the wonderful things I've heard in meetings. And one was, looking good and being healthy is nice, but it doesn't solve my problems. And I can remember losing the weight before OA and thinking, where's the boyfriend? Why isn't life easier? I'm at goal weight. Where's the applause? There's not a ticker tape parade. I don't get it. Isn't that how it works? So I kept coming back to OA. I knew that miracle that they talked about, that wasn't going to happen for me. You know things. That's not going to be still convinced that there's no way this was going to work. But it made me feel saner. It gave me hope that while I wasn't going to get the miracle, maybe I could find a way to be healthier. And one of the things that I got early on in OA that I'd never been able to experience before was, breakfast might have been abstinent, and then I'd get to lunch and I slipped. I ate more than I should have. And it's like, well, as Bill says in the big book, I wrecked it. I might as well get good and drunk. I might as well eat all the things I wasn't eating, and I'll start tomorrow. And this program gave me the ability to say, well, you know what? That wasn't what it should be, but you know what? I can start my abstinence now. I can be abstinent for the rest of the day, which that wrecked a lot of binges, I'll tell you. But it was also that gift of the program. So I heard other people and what they were abstaining from, and it's like, nope, I'm not doing that. Nope, I'm not doing that. I'm going to eat what I want, and I'm going to do it abstinently. And I would get 30, 60, 90 days. But I was never able to get past that. And I had lost some weight, things were better. I was doing service, what did I know? The first meeting I went to, they're like, we need a secretary. And there were like four of us. And nobody was raising a hand, and I'm the kind of, I'll do it. I didn't even know what I was doing. But that commitment, I was at least abstinent on Wednesdays, because I wanted to be abstinent for you. I would be abstinent for you before I would be abstinent for myself. And I think one of the big holes that has been in my life, my thinking of myself, is I'm not good enough. I didn't get married until I was 37. I thought by 22 at the latest, which I'll have to say there's God involved there, because some of those fellows, it had ended in homicide or suicide. So, it wasn't a bad thing, but I had this deep feeling of not pretty enough. If I just, I'm built like a pear. I have been called fat whale, fat bitch, from people I didn't even know. I was at a pool one time at an apartment complex, and I never went back. So this feeling of not good enough has gnawed at me my whole life. And one of the things that this program says, or I've heard, is we are what we think we are. And to be able to let my higher power in there and change that is still a work in progress. So eventually I got tired of not getting long-term abstinence. So in pure Janus form, I said, all right. So they're saying that if you abstain from this, that it gets easier. It's like, you know, that is not going to make a difference. And I'll show them how. So I decided I would start with Diet Pepsi, which I was drinking by the gallons. I'm surprised that they were able to stay in business after I abstained. But stopped drinking Diet Pepsi. And about within 4 days, I realized that my cravings just plummeted, because eating this binge food with water, eating that binge food with water, most of the salty stuff, it's like, well, that's not so much fun. And I thought, well, okay, so maybe, but I know that sugar's not the problem, and I will show them how. So the next month I abstained from sugar, and once again, the cravings just plummeted, and I was shocked. But I said, you know, God, okay, so we've got some problems here. You can do this miracle thing, but how are you going to get rid of the McDonald's? Because I can't drive past one without stopping and getting some of their crap. I can remember early in OA sitting at a traffic light, planning out, you know, all my errands, and realizing there was a McDonald's on the way. Isn't there always? And I sat there and cried, because I did not want to stop and get the crap, but I couldn't not go there. So I said, so God, what are you going to do about that? Are you going to smite all the McDonald's off the face of the earth? I have absolutely no way to describe it except a miracle, but I said, that's what I needed. And they evaporated from my mind. He took that out of my mind. There was a thing in one of my books that is so, it was in a lifeline, and it said, I believe God has the most power if I allow him to guide my thinking. Once the food is in my hand, my mouth or my body, I have made the food my God and closed God out. I do not think God will take the food out of my hand. Smack. But God can take the food out of my mind. And that was a big aha. You know, the longer we abstain from that first compulsive bite, the sooner we can recover in this program. So when I gave up the soda and the sugar, you know, amazingly, things, weight was falling off. I do feel like I need to also say that it's not that life was easy. That year, 6 months later, my loving husband confessed an affair that I knew it, something was wrong, but I never dreamed that it would have been that. And we separated for a bit. And in that time of turmoil, I didn't want to be drunk. I did not want to use food so that I couldn't hear God. And it wasn't easy. There came a point that I just begged God, show me, are we going to reconcile? Or is it, I need to know. Because this, I don't know, I can't live with that. And I very clearly heard God say, you need to set your anchor with me, not on the man, not on a marriage, not on anything else. And then no matter where I take you, you'll be okay. No matter where you drift, if the anchor is there. And that, you know, was profound, but I was a little unhappy because it's not what I'd asked God to answer. You know, I'm still me. So I meant to take a look at the clock to know how long I was talking, because folks, I can talk the doorknobs off a courthouse. But I've covered most of that. So there was another program thing that said, God, help me remember that what seems hopeless today can often be solved tomorrow, even if I can't see the solution. So after I had had a sponsor who had relapsed with sugar after 9 years, and I was just like, 9 years, how 9 years was impossible, you know? When I began abstaining from sugar, I mean, I didn't even think I could make it through the day, not a week, not a month, not 9 years. And this is the thing I want to say for some big hope to all y'all, is that when I started that one day of abstinence from sugar, like that was going to work, I did not know I was stepping into what would turn out to 11 years of abstinence from sugar. How is that possible? There's a miracle. So I knew the miracle wouldn't happen for me. We don't know what we can't, you know, we just, when we can surrender, I love that our invitation says, the more total our surrender from to God, the more that we can surrender, the more fully realized our freedom from food obsession. It doesn't say the word perfect. The more perfectly that we surrender, because we can't do it perfectly, but the more fully realized our freedom, it also doesn't say you'll be perfectly free from the food obsession. And if I could do anything for all of us in the fellowship, it would be to erase the word perfectly from all of us, because that doesn't work. I do have a thing I want to add. There's a great definition of abstinence if you're struggling, because sometimes we're so focused on the food, and the food is but a symptom. It is our thinking where the problem is that we fall back into the kitchen. So at a conference, I heard a speaker said she was abstaining from five things. Leaving away, check mark, I got that. Number two, doing it perfectly. I can stay abstinent there. Three, abstaining from negative thinking. There is my Achilles heel. Number four, doing it alone. There's that tool of the telephone that I abstained from the telephone, and that's not a good abstinence. And then the fifth one is starting over. And so take that for what you like. And it has helped me to get my feet back on the road. I also have to say, just preparing for this, for being a speaker, has brought back a number of things that it's like, there is hope. Because what's happened to me? So what happened, girlfriend? How could you drop off of the, you know, it wasn't all at once. It wasn't all at once. It was little by little. You know, I got into the 180s. I'm like, man, this is still a really good quality problem for this previously 265-pound compulsive eater. And then it began into the 90s, but I'm still under 200. And I felt like, man, if I could stay under 200, that's a miracle in itself. But needless to say, it's inched into, I'm around 220 right now. But still, so only compulsive eaters would say, well, I've only gained 50 pounds. You know, I still, like it's a trifle. But that is how our thinking, you know, somewhere in step, I think it's step two, it says our thinking about diet and exercise and body, you know, all of that stuff, we can't trust it. And I don't believe my husband can hear me, but I was dating a fellow and I weighed 250 pounds. He made me feel like the sexiest woman on the planet. I felt that. I embraced it. I was. And I know that my husband, he made the mistake of saying that he went, you know, he was talking to a friend. He wasn't sure if he really could, you know, didn't like big butts. I'll tell you, I have got a stadium cushion. It doesn't matter what I weigh. That is not ever a petite part of my anatomy. And so I don't feel comfortable with my body with him right now. I've never felt real comfortable, but again, it's in our head. That's where the problem is. So discipline is one of those words that we as compulsive eaters are like, we're not. We are an undisciplined lot, as the big book says. But I heard a definition of discipline that I love. Discipline is remembering what I want. I want to be healthy. I want to eat the food that my body needs. You know, in that blissful, you know, 11 years of good abstinence, I felt like I was in harmony with the whole universe and with the amounts of food I was eating and how it would all work out. I'd have a little bit of this left or a little bit of that. You know, I'm a clean plate club gal and just clean out the rest of that's in that pot. We don't want it to go to waste. I would find that it would work its way into, you know, that little bit of this and of that. Well, you turn, that's enough for a meal the next day. And so it felt really wonderful and clean. And so here's another quote. My action today was to make abstinence my priority. And it was easy since I gave the job to a professional. If I try to do it, I can't. It every time I give it to God, it's like, oh. So what has happened to make myself in this place where I'm struggling? I believe the dark side has really been trying to snuff out the light of my candle. It turns out I have a bunch of allergies, and that includes a number of food allergies I had no idea about. And it's creating, I have something called eosinophilic esophagitis, but don't tell anybody. And so because of my allergies, it will attack my throat. And so it was like, got to give up dairy. Yeah. Do you mean like cheese and butter and yogurt? Yogurt, that's healthy. It took me years to eat healthy stuff. Greek yogurt, you got the protein, no fat. I'm like, yeah. And no, I tried some cashew yogurt. I won't even tell you. It didn't matter. It cost me $8. I could not. Two bites. And I said, that's too bad. They got paid, but I can't do it. So, it has been mind blown on the food that were the safe go-to abstinence for me, you know, a turkey wrap and carrots, sugar snap peas, ranch dressing, done. I can't have the cheese in the wrap. I can't have the ranch dressing. I'm allergic to carrots and I'm allergic to legumes. So the sugar snap peas are out, and it's been a crisis, I'll tell you. But if I was sponsoring me, I'd say, I know, honey, but you've got to remember that HP will not have a problem with finding the food that you can eat. And I'm allergic to turkey too. Seriously? Okay. I've wrestled with that for months. And there's another fascinating story. I kid you not. I was in a hydrogen explosion on a submarine. I was being trained to be a co-pilot. Oh, it's a blast. But I have had like multiple numerous surgeries, and my body's had to compensate for these ankles and blown out a shoulder for the third time. And I just want to get out and walk and to do the things physically that help me to feel, to at least balance some of the eating. It's still hard for me to eat small amounts. You know, I could have, I've struggled with eating, overeating healthy food. Who of us hasn't, I think. But I can tell you, I had a binge that started with a carrot. So it doesn't matter. You know, my boundaries at this potluck were one plate, and it, you know, stuff and no sugar. It was great. And I walked into the kitchen to say goodbye to the host. And they had these beautiful carrots there. And I grabbed one and I stood around talking, had another carrot because they're carrots. And before I knew it, I was leaving there with a little cup full of trail mix that I was snarfing all the way home, you know. So I am a true compulsive overeater through and through. I think I should wrap up. But there's a I like acronyms. So there's one, NUTS. When we're NUTS in this program, we are not using the steps. That is the crux of this program, working the steps. You got to find out what's eating you that's making you eat yourself into the grave. Another crisis for me was that I'm also an Al-Anon, you know, codependent, and I was in a relationship with a friend that I had all the right motives. I wanted to help her. I Al-Anoned her into, we had a raging fight and we are no longer speaking, and she'd been dear. And in doing the step work, I had to look again at the fact that, you know, having good motives is great, but I was so wrapped around in being codependent to prove to her that I was going to be the person that was going to stand by her. I was not going to abandon her like these other people had. I was not going to treat her like these other people had. I was going to be the one. Where's God in there, Janice? Oh, you know, when you pull on the God suit, I have found that it is way too big. I can't see where I'm going. It's got this tail. I turn around, I knock people over. It's a bad deal to put on the God suit. And I did not see that I was doing that. I have been heartbroken, and it's been hard to look at what I'm capable of when I go back into the not doing things that I should. So I'll leave you with these two things. If plan A doesn't work, the alphabet has 25 more letters. Let God bring you some more of the letters. And finally, one of the slogans for a Region 1 conference was Yahoo. And if you didn't hear it, Yahoo means you always have other options. Yahoo. We don't have to eat ourselves into the grave. There is hope to be had here in Overeaters Anonymous. And I hope that you'll keep abstaining from leaving OA like me, and we're going to have a miracle. I know we will. Thank you for letting me be a speaker.